Well, there's all kinds of juicy details in today's gospel passage, and it's easy for us to grab onto one or more of those and not get the full gist, the whole context of what's going on here, to see that big picture. And that happened to me as I was first reflecting on this passage as well. I was drawn to the jealousy that you see between the disciples. You know, you got the sons of Zebedee, they're trying to cull favor with the Lord. It doesn't work, but the other disciples are mad at them and jealous anyway. You know, what are you guys doing? You can imagine that some of the words that were exchanged. And this reminded me of two songs that that I knew when I was way back in the days when I was a student here. Right? This is as the dinosaurs were becoming extinct, you know, way back in the day. They have to do with this jealousy theme. One of them is just called Jealousy. It's a song by Natalie Merchant. Some of you may remember her. She was the lead singer of the 10,000 Maniacs. And then she did some solo work. And Jealousy is on her album. I think it's called Tiger Lily. It's a good song. Now, it has to do with you know, lovers and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't really have anything to do with the gospel. That's another reason why I'm bringing this up, because it's easy for us to get off on tangents. The second song, more of you probably have heard it, is called Hey Jealousy. It's by the Gin Blossoms. And I just heard it the other day on the radio here on the Moose. So they're still playing it today. And this, again, it partially is about lovers, but it's also just about being young and having fun. They talk about, we're going to drive around this town and let the cops chase us around. And that definitely reminds me of the Anaconda days. Not so much when I got here to Bozeman. All joking aside now, I encourage you to check out The Chosen, this wonderful new series on the life of Jesus. It's just very beautifully done, and a very wonderful, faithful Catholic plays Christ, Jonathan Rumi, even though it's produced by evangelicals. And there's two seasons that are out now. There's going to be 7 seasons total. All you need to do is go on the App Store on your phone, type in The Chosen, bloop, it's a free app. You can watch 8 episodes in each of the first 2 seasons. And in season 2, the first episode is called Thunder. It's the Sons of Thunder, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. It's this gospel passage playing out. And it really gives a nice visual to what's going on in the gospel. So I encourage you to consult that. And then along with the biblical text itself, this video will help you to see all of these juicy details in context. And what is that context? Well, this is a great tutorial from Jesus on what it really means to be a disciple. Be careful not to conclude that he's calling us to be social justice warriors. Many people read something like this in the gospel, like, oh yeah, that's it. Yes, he does in fact say, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So clearly he's calling us to follow in his footsteps with a predisposition to serve others, not to be served by others. But he doesn't stop there. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the punchline right there. Now, that is why the Son of Man came. And that is ultimately what he's calling us to as well. Total self-emptying love. And only by going down this route do we learn how to serve others rightly, according to his will and not according to ours. It's so easy to get this backwards, and it is so often. It's rampant in today's society. Oh, I just need to go and do some good works. Oh, that mass and that kind of thing, you know, whatever. I just need to go and do good works. So how do we stay rooted and grounded in this? Well, you guessed it. The three-legged stool. So the sacraments, that's the first and most important leg of the stool. I can't emphasize it enough, especially the Eucharist every Sunday and frequent confession. And that leads us into a life of daily prayer, where we unfold these gifts that the Lord gives to us. We realize the gifts, we're able to accept them, and then we better understand his will for us. And then, this is when we move on to the third leg, which is service, authentic service in our Lord's name, according to his will. Another way of saying this that I'm also fond of, conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. But if we get this backwards, and again, it's so rampant today, put social justice first, then service becomes more and more about us and less about him. and I think many times without even noticing this, people go out with good intentions wanting to help others. But what happens? Then they end up missing out on the fruits of his great victory as it becomes more and more about me. And so you move farther away from him and bring others along with you. And we can even end up abandoning prayer and the sacraments altogether. Oh, that's kind of stuff. That's just medieval superstition. Or maybe it's kind of important, but what's really important is going to the soup kitchen every Saturday or whatever it is your social justice is. But if you've ever tried to sit on a stool with one leg before, kind of tough, right? So we need all three legs. But if we get, if we kind of get rid of these, the prayer and sacraments, those legs, then we truly empty the cross of its meaning and its power. And that, friends, is nothing short of disastrous. And that's a big reason why so many of the churches are empty today, why we're starved for priests. It's not the only reason. I'm not trying to say it's the only reason, but it is a significant reason. Because people don't think it's important to come to Mass. So let us avoid this path and keep our priorities straight. Since, as the author of Hebrews assures us in today's second reading, we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed through the heavens. He's pierced the heavens for us, blazing the path to freedom, peace, and joy. And he wants to accompany us every single step of the way. He has been tested in every way, just like us, but without sin, and is therefore able to sympathize with our weaknesses, to endure them compassionately with us. Let us then hold fast to our confession of faith and confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. This is beautiful stuff. And what is this? What is the author talking about? The throne of grace? He's talking about the sacraments. That's the very font of the Lord's mercy, the primary gift, the vehicle, we might say, by which he transforms us, gives us his great grace. And of course, he also gives us the gift of prayer, which draws us ever closer to the throne of grace, which helps us to better understand his love for us and his will for us, his desire to be closer with us. And if you do this, Christ will undoubtedly lead you right into good works in service of others. And superabundant fruits will then follow. This is exactly why Christ sacrificed so dearly, so that you could be free from sin and flourish in his love. And we see the beauty of this sacrifice being revealed in today's first reading. And this is it's a small piece from the fourth of Isaiah's suffering servant songs. It's the last song. We get the full version on Good Friday. It's a whole chapter. It's very beautiful. And just 2 weeks ago, we had his second servant song. So we're getting some wonderful fruits here. And so in today's reading, speaking through Isaiah, God prophesies, through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, giving his life as an offering for sin. We know what he prophesied. 600 years later, it happened. Indeed, the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him, has been accomplished through him now. And because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days, and see his descendants in a long life. Now Isaiah is pointing to heaven. So because of his affliction, his self-emptying love, he sees the light in fullness of days. Talking about heaven here. But in fact, he doesn't just see the light. He is the light. Jesus is the light in eternity. And he'll see his descendants in a long life, in eternal life. And hopefully those descendants include every single one of us. Right? That's what he wants. That's what we want. Don't let his victory go to waste. It's so key. Don't let it go to waste. It's the gifts are right there for the taking, but we have to accept them. Today's responsorial gives us similar encouragement. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. And think holy fear here now. A deep love and respect and desire to serve the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him and hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine, to deliver us from eternal death and preserve us in spite of famine. Now, probably none of us are starving because of famine. Now, people in the world are, but far more prevalent is the spiritual famine that plagues our world, indeed our country, especially the Western world. And that's what the Lord, he's going to ransom us from that. Preserve us in spite of this famine if we turn to him. The psalmist continues, our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. Notice who's at the center here. It's not the psalmist. It's not the king. It's the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And the more we wait for him and yearn for him, the more we're able to drink in his goodness. Yes, the earth is full of the kindness of the Lord. And those who trust in him reap an abundant harvest of his marvelous fruits. Paradoxically, though, in order to receive from the Lord, we have to be generous with him. That's how we open up our hearts to receive from him. And this links us back to the gospel passage for today, but also last week. Remember, last week it was the rich young man who couldn't quite give the Lord more. He gave to a certain point, but then he went away sad. Christ literally gave everything for you. And he offers everything to you right now. He never ceases offering everything to you. What are you willing to give up for him? Will you give him your whole heart so you can receive from him? Praying, Lord, what do you want for me? What do you want to give me? Or do you want to be served by him? Lord, give me what I want. Like we see with the sons of thunder today, James and John. And in a way, like we saw with the rich young man, he wasn't able to quite give as much. He wanted Christ to somehow do something for him instead of him opening up more. Are you asking the Lord what he wants you to do with your life? Or are you asking him to do what you want to do with your life? That's a crucial question. It's a vocational question. So important for young people in particular, but for all of us. Even if we already know the vocation the Lord has called us to, we still have to know, what do you want me to do today, tomorrow? What do you want me to do within this vocation? But especially for the young people, ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? What is it, Lord, that you have in store for me? That's the only way you're going to be truly happy, is if you follow him. And you can be like Father Knucklehead and kind of waltz around for 30 plus years and then finally get your act together. Or you can do it now and start to drink in this wonderful goodness now and not wait. And there's men and women in here that he's calling to explore the possibility of priesthood, the possibility of religious life, and also the possibility of married life. All of those things. Lord, what do you want for me? Such a crucial question. And we do have, of course, one local vocation. We have Jamie Severson. He's not from this parish. He's kind of associated. He was baptized here. But so many young people in our parish. And then, of course, we have all of our students. And so that's why Bishop Vedder is saying, where's the vocations? God's calling people. It's just a matter of response to him. So I do ask you to include this in your prayer life. You will not be disappointed. Friends, don't be afraid to be generous with the Lord. You're never going to lose out. He always repays us super abundantly for whatever effort we put in. He's never going to be outdone in generosity. That's the phrase I was looking for. Don't be afraid of that three-legged stool. And don't try to use only one leg either. As we observed earlier, it's not going to work out very well. Not going to be very comfortable. You're going to fall down, probably. Today's prayers for the Mass beautifully kind of encapsulate the same theme. You can see that three-legged stool coming out. And so I'll offer you the prayer over the offerings, which you'll hear in just a few minutes when we get into the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And then we'll return to the opening prayer as well. Grant us, Lord, we pray, a sincere respect for your gifts, that through the purifying action of your grace, we may be cleansed by the very mysteries we serve. What a marvelous prayer, right? We're going to be cleansed by the very mysteries we serve. What are we talking about here? Sacraments. Those are the mysteries that we're serving. And we'll have a sincere respect for your gifts. That now we're talking about moving into our prayer life so that we can have more and more of a sincere respect for these gifts, for the purifying action of your grace. Now, here's the opening prayer. Almighty ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours and serve your majesty in sincerity of heart. Conforming our wills to his, that's what we do in our prayer life, right? And then we serve his majesty in sincerity of heart. That's him leading us out to serve him in our brothers and sisters. That's true social justice, my friends. How beautiful this is. This is not only the right way to live, but it's the best way to live. Therefore, let us confidently and frequently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help, and then allow the Lord to set our community and our world ablaze with His holy fire through us, as we carry out His holy works in service to our brothers and sisters.